Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Hey, Packers fans, happy Friday. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. Thank you, as always, for being here. We are now less than 2 weeks away from the NFL draft. And we're going to go through two big-time prospects that could very well be in play for Green Bay today. At defensive tackle, Kenneth Grant, Walter Nolan, which one makes more sense? Do both of them make sense? Which direction should Green Bay go in here? We're going to break them down in great detail today. Two very fun players that a lot of people think could very much be in play at pick 23. So like I said, we're going to break them down, get you everything that you need to know, the good, the bad, the ugly, everything in between. Before we get there, shout out to Joshua Portalatin for becoming a brand new Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube member. Thanks so much for that. Appreciate it a ton. If you haven't checked out those memberships yet, make sure to do so. Also, just make sure to hit that subscribe button, whether you're on, you know, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, wherever you are. It is super easy to hit that subscribe button, and it legitimately helps the channel a ton. There's no monetary anything that goes along with that. It's just literally hitting the subscribe button. And if you're on the podcast channel, make sure to get do automatic downloads as well. Again, it takes a couple seconds. It automatically puts it on there. And again, that helps us a ton. But most importantly, again, can't thank you enough for being here. And just again, having the opportunity to talk Packers with you guys 365 days a year. One other thing, just really quick, I don't know, maybe slight soapbox moment, but one of the things that I've kind of learned over the years, and I'll talk about, you know, Nolan in just a minute here. Nolan's not my exact guy in this draft. I'm still going to probably watch him a little bit more even than I have already, just to see if maybe I can, you know, maybe I missed something the first couple times around at this point. I don't think my mind is probably going to change. I don't hate him. He's not this prospect that's like, I can't, like, just don't draft him no matter what or anything like that. But he's not one of my guys. One of the things that I have really tried to do and kind of learned over the years to some extent is everyone that's going in the first round of this draft is unbelievably talented. And if you every single year make a list of your guys that you love in the draft, and every single year make a list of the guys that you really don't like, don't want Green Bay to take, and you evaluate those lists over time, you will have guys on your list that you liked that turned out really well. Guys that you put on your list that you liked, that turned out terribly. Guys that you turned out on your list that you did not like, that turned out great. And guys that you did not like, that turned out terribly. There will be all areas and all spectrums of it. That's not to say don't have your guys. That's not to say don't have your likes and dislikes. Listen, a lot of this, the entertainment value in the draft, is figuring out beforehand which guys that you hope Green Bay takes, and then, you know, sort of reacting accordingly when that does or does not happen, figuring out, again, you probably have some sort of list or an order or a big board of like how you want this to shake out for Green Bay, or at least a handful of names in mind of like, oh, it would be cool if Green Bay did this. What I've kind of come to really value over the time that I've been doing this is not to necessarily have so much of that, here's a guy I really want or don't want. Trust me, there are guys I really want. There's a couple guys like a Walter Nolan that I don't want. But to try to keep an open mind in the matter of all of these players, especially when it comes to first round players, have a ridiculous amount of positives that come along with their game. And all of them have negatives that they need to work on. And the journey for all of these players is just getting started. As Tony Pauline used to always say, as I used to podcast with him on the Pro Football Network podcast, the NFL Insiders podcast that feels forever ago now, he would always say the draft is the beginning of the process. It's not the end. And he's completely correct on that. When they get drafted, this is literally day zero of their NFL journey. It is the end of their college journey and transitioning into the NFL. And now the moment they get selected by the Green Bay Packers, that is day zero. And it is going to go in a variety of directions from there, hopefully up, hopefully not down, but that is just the start of it. And there are players all throughout this draft, whether first round or undrafted, who will take those strengths that they have and accentuate them and make them better, take the weaknesses that they have and mitigate them. And there are players all throughout this draft, from the pick one to, again, undrafted free agent, that will have those strengths that they don't continue to work on the skill, or they maybe just don't translate to the NFL the way that NFL teams or you or I or anyone else was expecting, or maybe they have some sort of injury, whoever, whatever it might be, they will not maybe hit that ceiling. And their weaknesses, they will not maybe work hard enough to correct, or they're just too big of a catastrophic weakness that it's just a deal breaker for them at the NFL level. There will be all of that. And it is a complete inexact science as to how this works, because it's not always apples to apples translatable of, if they do this in the NFL or in college, then they can do this in the NFL. There is projection there. And within that realm of projection is this huge gap of mystery, because you are trying to take somebody that can do something pretty well right now in college and hope that they can continue to do it in the NFL. What I say a lot of the times is, most of the like really big plays and, if you have a really good day at the office, a lot of times it's because maybe you're getting an advantageous matchup across from you, and now it's your job to take advantage of that. In college, you might get a lot of advantageous matchups, especially if you're a more gifted athletic player than some of the players across from you who may never even sniff the NFL. You could just win on pure, raw, unadulterated athleticism and talent day in and day out. As soon as you get to the NFL, that changes in a significant way, and now you have to evolve. And that evolution has to happen for all of these players. So as in love with the prospect as you are, just remember, we all love Josh Jackson coming out of Iowa. Like almost everyone to a T, that was one of the most celebrated picks I've ever seen in Packers land. They got Josh Jackson. Had he been taken in round one by Green Bay, would have been celebrated. And when they got him in round two, it was almost universally, people were doing backflips. It was unbelievable. It didn't work out at all. And there have obviously been the vice versa, the reverse of that as well, players that a lot of people have not liked that have gone on to have great NFL careers. So just understand, have your likes and dislikes. It is part of the fun of the process. But just kind of keep an open mind of, regardless of how high you are on a player or how low you are on a different player, it's not the be-all, end-all, and there is a lot of room for growth, improvement, and success for all of these players, but it's going to be very dependent upon how they attack their NFL careers, how they fit with the team, and if they can come in and hopefully find a spot that's going to be setting them up for success. That's all I have to say there. Sorry for the slight tangent, but it's been something that's been on the back of my mind just a little bit as of late, of just, again, regardless of who Green Bay takes, and I'll probably be right there with you if they end up taking a player that I'm like, ugh. Because last year, right? Jordan Morgan, not the guy I wanted in that pick. But to kind of what I'm saying, I can see what they saw. High-end athleticism. And by the way, I think he's going to be a good starting offensive lineman still. I didn't love his tape in college. But again, you're projecting. Can you take all of his talents and skills and some of the really great stuff that he did in college and say like, yeah, I could see him becoming a really good starting lineman in the NFL? Absolutely. Absolutely. So let's give that a little bit of time, see what happens, and we'll hopefully all get what we want. And maybe the present under the tree this year will all be not only one that we universally love, but that actually goes on to be that all-pro Hall of Fame player as well. I can hope and I can wish, and you can't tell me otherwise. All right, let's get to these two big prospects today. Kenneth Grant, we are going to start with, and then we will get to Walter Nolan immediately after that. Kenneth Grant, 6'4", 331 pounds. I should do this wrestling style. Weighing in at 331 pounds, 6'4", out of Death Valley, in this case, just University of Michigan. Defensive tackle, Kenneth Grant, a true junior, 718 RAS. We actually have a true full relative athletic score. Feels so good. 7.18 RAS. Tested 78th percentile in height, 95th percentile in weight. Let that sink in for a moment. 36th percentile bench press, not great. More on that in a moment. 81st percentile vertical jump, 57th percentile broad jump, 57th percentile 40-yard dash, 82nd percentile 10-yard split. 43rd percentile short shuttle, and 61 percentile three cone. I want to go over a couple things here because it's really important. These numbers are, when you talk about their percentiles, are weighted against defensive tackles. They are not weighted against nose tackles. They are not weighted against 330 plus defensive tackles. This is literally going against the same, you know, guys like Carl Brooks. It is going against guys like Aaron Donald. It is going against guys that are 280, 285 pounds. Walter Nolan, who we're going to talk about obviously later today. Nolan's 296, so he's a little bit bigger, but even some of these undersized three techniques, those are all listed in the defensive tackle category. When you get the 330 pounders, it is tough to get high-end relative athletic scores because you are doing broad jumps, verticals, 40s, short shuttles, three cones against these super smallish, undersized defensive tackles, three techniques as well. When you see a 330 pounder that is 95th percentile in weight, meaning he is a big freaking dude, but has an 81st percentile vertical jump, 57th percentile broad jump, 57th percentile 40-yard dash, 82nd percentile 10-yard split, 43rd percentile short shuttle, and 61st percentile three cone, all of those are phenomenal, like unbelievable, ridiculous numbers. For the big dudes, whether it's an offensive lineman or a defensive lineman, when they're in the 330, like just massive range, you have to sort of change your calculus a little bit for how you view those numbers. Like this is probably like a 99th percentile athlete for 330 pounders, like a 99.9th percentile athlete for 330 pounders. Just put that into perspective. Can you smell it? Springtime is in the air and baseball is officially underway, and you know exactly what that means. It means it's time to add your favorite players from the diamond into your Prize Picks lineup. Whether it's strikeouts, RBIs, first inning runs, take your pick on more or less for your shot to win up to 1,000 times your cash today. And right now you can sign up for Prize Picks and get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's absolutely guaranteed. So do you think Shohei Ohtani will get more than one home run this week? How about Juan Soto more than one hit in his next game? Cook up your hot takes with your friends and win real money when you run your game on Prize Picks. This week, I'm going with Jackson Churio to stay hot in Milwaukee, and I'm also going to be picking pretty much every hitter against Milwaukee, seeing as their entire pitching staff is on the DL. The best part is that you can download the app today and use code PACKADAY to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. That's the Prize Picks app using code PACKADAY to get $50 instantly on your first $5 lineup. So what are you waiting for? Prize Picks, run your game. The other thing that I'll say is the bench press. 22 reps on the bench press, 36th percentile. You would say, well, all right, if he's going to be a big dude and, you know, one of these big stout defensive tackles, I would expect him to do more. You are correct. He should do more. He should have more functional strength. I almost sometimes, not, again, you may view this totally differently. I kind of view this as not the worst thing, or almost kind of, I don't want to say a good thing, but put it this way. Despite the fact that he has not put on all that strength yet, by the way, Dexter Lawrence, who you'll sometimes hear him compared to, he's not in that level, I think, of player slash freaky dude, but it's not that far off. Dexter Lawrence coming out of college benched 36 reps. 36 reps. All right. Kenneth Grant did 22. My point is to say this is something that is very easily fixable, right? Just more time in the weight room, which I expect him now at the NFL level to have a ton of time to do and to only put on more strength moving forward. So he's already a freaky dude that is, you know, really difficult to block and can penetrate and get into the backfield. Now imagine he puts on all of that strength where he's now doing 30 plus reps. Like that's going to translate on the field. So just if he was already maxed out, right? You're like, all right, well, there's not room for growth. There is still a ton of room for strength and growth on Kenneth Grant. And that is something that's almost scary to think about. But freaky, freaky athlete. His top athletic comp was Chester McLaughlin, by the way. 30th on Daniel Jeremiah's big board, was a third team All-American and a second team All Big Ten player. Played 41 games at Michigan. This past year, he played 12 games, 32 tackles, 7 tackles for loss, 3 sacks, five passes batted down, and two fumble recoveries. 2023, played in 15 games on that path to the national championship, 29 tackles, five tackles for loss, 3.5 sacks, one interception, five passes batted down again, and one fumble recovery. And then in 2022, played in 14 games, played sparingly, had eight tackles, no other statistics to his name. In his career, played 41 games, all at Michigan, 69 tackles, 12 tackles for loss, 6.5 sacks, one interception, 10 passes batted down, and three fumble recoveries. Per PFF, in 2024, played 547 snaps, had an 83.7 defense grade, an 87.5 run defense grade, and a 75.3 pass rush grade. 2023, played 403 snaps, an 80.5 overall grade, 73.0 against the run, 78.4 against the pass. And in 2022, just 104 snaps, 72.7 grade, 73.6 against the run, 62.8 against the pass. In as far as pass rush productivity goes, in 2024, had 329 pass rush snaps, three sacks, one hit, 23 hurries, 27 total pressures. In 2023, 222 pass rush snaps, five sacks, four hits, 16 hurries, 25 total pressures. And in 2022, just 41 pass rush snaps, zero sacks, zero hits, two hurries for two total pressures. His pass rush win rate in 2024 was 9.1%. In 2023, it was 10.4%. And in 2022, it was 2.4%. Just remember, what's your job description? If you're a pass rush, three technique sort of defensive tackle, it's going to be more rushing the passer. Not that you have to, you can be a bad run defender, but it's a little bit more towards what you can do as a pass rusher. This is a 330 pounder. He is in there to stop the run, to collapse the pocket. This is not going to be your player that's going to come in and all of a sudden rack up 15, 20 sacks, right? That's not his job description. That's not what you're expecting out of this type of player. The 9 to 10% win rate, very solid overall, and he's still kind of coming into his own as a pass rusher. You're bringing him in to eat blocks, stop the run, collapse pockets. That's what you're in, you know, that's what you're kind of getting in this type of player. Not to say he can't shoot into the backfield and make plays and sacks from time to time. He has that ability. We'll talk about that. But this is definitely somebody that if you're comparing him to, again, one of these lighter three techniques, well, yeah, the lighter three technique dude is probably going to have better production as a pass rusher. That should kind of go without saying. So just kind of remember that in the job description for what you're bringing Kenneth Grant in for. All right, scouting report from Daniel Jeremiah. Grant is a massive defensive tackle with intriguing quickness and power. He's very much a work in progress as a pass rusher. He flashes quick, violent hands to club swim for wins, but far too often doesn't have a plan and stalls out. He hasn't learned to harness his strength to bull rush and consistently collapse the pocket. That should be at the top of his agenda this coming season. He's a very dominant run defender. He easily holds the point of attack despite playing with a high pad level. I love his effort and awareness to chase down screens. If you want to see what Grant is capable of, watch Michigan's game against USC from the 2024 season. There's one other game I'll talk about as well. His upside was on full display that day. Unfortunately, he couldn't bottle that performance during an up and down season. Overall, there is some assembly required, but his physical tools are very loud and worth the investment. My positives for Kenneth Grant: has every right to be a dominant run defender who can collapse the pocket as a pass rusher. That's what you are getting as the vision for this player. Big time run defender. One of those guys that's just a complete pain to have to try to move in the run game or get anything going in the run game. He's just a clog. Like, he is that guy that is kind of the fulcrum in the middle of your defense that, you know, you're going to funnel everything back to him. He's that black hole right in the middle. He's that, if you're a chess player, he's that pawn that's creeping up your side of the board and it's just causing chaos. And you're just like, there's just this one pawn, but I can't move it off of it. And you're frustrated by it. This is what Kenneth Grant can be. And he is going to set everyone else up for success around him. He has immediate first step quickness and incredible speed and agility for his size, but it's inconsistent. Sometimes you see it really flash off the tape. Other times it does not quite as much. You want to see a little bit more consistency there. Even when he's playing at a high level, he is really difficult to move, as you would expect. There are times, and we're going to talk about some of those negatives where he can move him off his spot. I'll talk about specifically when, but for the most part, when he's coming at you, even if he's a little bit on the higher side, You try to get under him and forklift him and move him, and it's just good luck. Absolutely good luck. I don't care how good of an offensive lineman you are, or even if you're getting under his pads, he's just an incredibly difficult human to move. Incredible skill set and room to become a really dominant interior defender. Strong hands to manipulate offensive linemen. An impressive ability to split double teams and knife his way into the backfield. There are some plays on tape that you're just like, he almost looks like a three technique. He's getting out of his stance, shooting between two offensive linemen that are trying to double team him, and immediately getting into the backfield and making a play. Just like, that dude's 330? You sure? And it's really, really impressive. Again, consistency is the key, but those are those flash plays that just make you go, holy crap. If we can harness that, look the heck out. Daniel Jeremiah mentioned the USC game. The Ohio State is another one. And here's what I will tell you. The Ohio State and the USC games are what I like to say is like proof of concept. Scouting is, again, you can tell me what they can't do, but what you want to say is tell me what they can do. What does this look like? If I'm projecting Kenneth Grant to be this dominant player at the NFL level, what can I? Is there proof of this? Am I just taking blind faith that he's going to make this jump, or is there anything that I can look to say, okay, I get it. USC, Ohio State games are proof of just how dominant and physical and talented he is. And I can say, all right, I can see it. Now we just have to get that bottled up and more consistent on a game-to-game, down-in, down-out basis. And at defensive tackle, especially for some of the bigger guys, that is a consistent scouting note that you will hear for defensive tackles and Dane Brugler's beast guide for now until the end of time. It is a very common defensive tackle trait, especially in college going to the NFL. And some of those players learn how to then be professionals in the NFL. Others, you hear about it for their entirety of their career. Tough to tell, but that's what you're going to try to hope is that you can get them to play a little bit more consistent at the NFL level. And here's the last thing. You just can't find 6'4", 330 with this type of athleticism. These are the, there's only so many of them in the world. They're rare. They're extremely rare. And when you have the opportunity to find one, you have to weigh out whether or not that is it the right time to take one, or can you afford to take one, those sort of things. But if you have them on your team, they're very, very nice to have. And especially if you can get them playing at the level that I think Kenneth Grant is capable of playing at. It's again, you can't all of a sudden midseason be like, man, you know, it'd be nice. We could find a 6'4", 330-pound defensive tackle with unbelievable athleticism. Yeah, good luck. Even in free agency, those guys are really difficult to come by. So when you have the opportunity to get one, you really have to think long and hard of like, hey, it might be worth the investment, because they're really difficult to come by. Negatives: lacks the pressures and sack production. Again, you have to think of the job description a little bit. Plays too upright and gets moved off the ball in a way that shouldn't really happen. Again, he's tough to move even when he's playing out upright, but here's the big one and why this happens from time to time. He needs to be more cognizant of double teams and offensive linemen down blocking on him. When he is straight up, when he's, whether it's one-on-one or even if there's two guys coming right at him, he's golden. He's really difficult to move, and you're more often than not just not moving him. But teams will down block on him, and teams will double team him where he doesn't see that second guy coming, and he gets almost caught off guard by it. And that's where he's susceptible to getting moved off the ball in a way that he should not. So he's got to kind of keep his head on a swivel a little bit more and anticipate a little bit better, have a little bit better awareness for what's coming at him, and just expect to get double teamed. Expect that there's going to be a guy coming from somewhere else. If there's not, awesome, go eat. But you have to be aware that those blocks are coming. You can't get blindsided by it, and all of a sudden you're on the ground or you're out of your gap when your job is to cover almost two gaps, much less be completely blocked out of it. So he's got to be a little bit more aware of that. Does end up on the ground a little bit too often. Not a true pass rush arsenal at this stage of his career. Needs to continue to develop his pass rush moveset, and just it's something that he can use as a go-to. I do think he can add to his strength and anchor even better, which again is a scary thought, but it's not complete as of yet. The inconsistencies on film have been noted by Daniel Jeremiah, myself. It's just there. It's not game in and game out of this dominant defensive presence. So there is, again, a little bit of projection here, a little bit of hope that consistency comes with time. And he's never going to be an elite closing speed or change of direction guy to rack up a ton of sacks. Say one more time. Again, that's part of being 330 pounds and not expecting that big pass rush production from a player of his size. Not saying he can't be a good pass rusher or can't develop some stuff over time, but he's never going to be like this elite, you know, closing speed slash change of direction guy. How he would fit in Green Bay, he'd be the nose tackle. You can play Kenny next to him. You can play Devontae next to him, Carl Brooks next to him. A really nice piece. He's going to be a big time run defender. He is going to be an upgrade from TJ Slayton. He can collapse the pocket as a pass rusher. He's going to be a pain to play against. And I think the big thing is you can help him, or he can help Quay Walker and Edgerrin Cooper stay clean so those guys can sprint around and make all of their ridiculous plays. I do think there's probably value at pick 23, but it just depends on, number one, who's available along with him. And number two, I think there'd be a little bit better value if you kind of moved down a handful of spots and still pick him up. But that's a tough game to play if you are interested in him, because he could even go ahead of 23. It wouldn't stun me. I think he'll be there at 23. Whether or not Green Bay should take him, again, I think is more dependent upon who's there with him. But if they took him at 23, I would have no issue with it whatsoever. Why Green Bay would potentially pass on him, just better prospects available. I think that would be probably the biggest thing. I think you can, again, have him help your run defense from day one. He's an upgrade over TJ Slayton, super freaky upside, not quite in that Dexter Lawrence category, but still somebody that can be a big time run defender and be somebody that can help you in the pass rush game as well, or at least, again, collapsing that pocket. Definitely some risk with this as well. This is not a set it and forget it. You're guaranteed to get this high end player. I'd be pretty surprised if he's not at least a really dominant run defender in the NFL, but what he can give you as a pass rusher matters and really changes it as to whether or not he has that one role that he can do really well and is kind of a platoon player, or if he can help you on all downs and actually be somewhat of a pass rusher that can get you those 5 to 6 sacks per season. That's the difference. I think he can be that, but again, there is a little bit of risk here when it comes to Kenneth Grant. All right, let's get to Walter Nolan. Totally different players. So Grant's more your nose tackle. Nolan's more your three technique. He's 6'4", 296, defensive tackle out of Ole Miss. Junior, true junior, started his career at Texas A&M. First team All-American, first team All-SEC, and was a finalist for the Outland Trophy, which goes to the best offensive lineman and or defensive lineman, I should say. 80th percentile height, 49th percentile weight, 43rd percentile short shuttle. I have no idea. And I don't, maybe there was an injury at the combine or maybe he had to pull out or something, but I don't know why he just did the short shuttle when that wasn't necessarily his best attribute. That was a weird choice if there was some reason behind it. But yeah, just 40th percentile in the short shuttle. And again, 80th percentile height, 49th percentile weight, did not do any other testing. In 2024, played in 13 games, 48 tackles, 14 tackles for loss, 6.5 sacks, 3 passes batted down, and 2 fumble recoveries. In 2023, played in 12 games, 37 tackles, 9 tackles for loss, 4 sacks, 1 pass batted down. And in 2022, 10 games, 29 tackles, 3 tackles for loss, 1 sack, 1 fumble recovery, 1 forced fumble. Here's an example of progress, right? 29 tackles, 37 tackles, 48 tackles. 3 tackles for loss, 9 tackles for loss, 14 tackles for loss. 1 sack, 4 sacks, 6.5 sacks. Growth, growth, growth. Exactly what you want to see. Played in 35 games total, 114 tackles, 26 tackles for loss, 11.5 sacks, 4 passes batted down, 3 fumble recoveries, and 1 forced fumble, I should say. 2024, he played 588 snaps. This is per PFF. 88.9 defense grade, a 91.6 run defense grade. I did not quite see that. There are some really good things he does as a run defender. There's some not great things he does as a run defender. We'll talk through that. 75.0 pass rush grade. In 2023, 365 snaps, 73.6 overall grade, 73.1 run defense grade, 69.1 pass rush grade. In 2022, 289 snaps, 68.1 overall, 60.5 against the run, 71.1 against the pass. The previous 2 years of a 60.5 and 73.1 run grade, that to me fits him a little bit better. The 91.6 is a little over aggressive in my opinion. I'll go over why that is in just a moment. Overall, from a pass rush standpoint, in 2024 had 362 pass rush snaps, had 6 sacks, 6 hits, 29 hurries, for 41 total pressures. In 2023, 213 pass rush snaps, 7 sacks, 1 hit, 9 hurries, 17 pressures. And in 2022, 132 pass rush snaps, 2 sacks, 2 hits, 13 hurries, once again, 17 total pressures. In his career at both Texas A&M and Ole Miss, 707 pass rush snaps, 15 sacks, 9 hits, 51 hurries, 75 total pressures. His win rate this past year, 11.3%, 9.4 the year before that, 11.4 as a freshman. Here's the scouting report from Daniel Jeremiah. Nolan is a twitchy defensive tackle who fits best in a penetrating style of defense. Yes, he does. Ole Miss slanted him quite often in its defensive scheme, and he created some early wins versus the run and the pass. As a pass rusher, he can really get off the ball with urgency and roll his hips to jolt blockers. He flashes a violent hump move and can redirect with ease. He needs to improve his vision and awareness, though. He wins a lot of battles, but fails to win the war because of his inability to locate the ball. Against the run, he can generate negative plays for the offense by shooting gaps, but he gets caught and washed at times. This is the dynamic we're going to talk about. Overall, Nolan is an extremely talented and disruptive player, but he hasn't come close to reaching his potential. If he lands with the right scheme and coach, he could emerge as one of the better players in this draft class. I do think he fits Green Bay's scheme, which is important, but that is an important aspect of this. All right, positives. Disruptor as a run defender who can cause chaos and get quick wins in the backfield. Let's just have the run defense conversation right now. When he is shooting gaps and penetrating, he is a menace as a run defender. What I thought he struggled with more was holding up at the point of attack when he had to just go and sort of absorb the blocks. When he had to be the guy that was holding up against a double team, or if somebody tried to down block him, far too often he got pushed out of his gap. And that's where I have concern. And I think it's going to be a bigger concern at the NFL level. So if he's out there, what you want to do is have him being that shooting, penetrating player and not the guy that needs to hold up at the point of attack. That is easier said than done. You have to be able to vary what you're doing up front, and you can't just say, well, we're going to take this guy and shoot him into the backfield every time. Like, it's predictable and teams pick up on it very quick. So you have to be able to hold up at the point of attack as well. And I think that's what he needs to work on. Good news, he has a very good first step. When I talk about, absorbing contact as a run defender, again, that's when he's, the offensive line gets to do the dictating there, right? When he is a pass rusher, it's almost the opposite. When he's a pass rusher, he gets up to that offensive lineman and the offensive lineman starts fighting him. And it's like he's absorbing it, and it's just absorbing it, and he's just continuing to go on. It's like it's not even affecting him at times. It's really impressive, but he just absorbs that contact as a pass rusher and just keeps moving forward. Just kind of keeps pushing that offensive lineman back into the pocket. Used occasionally as a pocket collapser off the edge. So they use him as an edge defender to just take those tackles and push him back into the quarterback. Thought he looked pretty good doing that. He has long-term upside as a three-down defensive lineman. And that's, again, what you're looking for here. Not a platoon player, somebody that can play on both rundowns and pass downs and really have that value of playing, maybe 700 snaps per season. His balance was overall a positive. He gives great effort and does not give up on plays. That's something that you love to see. When you have these really juicy, tantalizing defensive tackles, what you want to see combined with it is effort. And that's what you have here. Now, one of the players that, again, he just kind of reminds me of, not apples to apples as a true, like, they're going to be the same type of player, but kind of same impact, same, strengths and weaknesses a little bit, is Devontae Wyatt. And Wyatt was the same way. And why I was so bullish on Wyatt of potentially becoming a great player is because the effort is so often there. You see him really give a ton of effort, but it hasn't translated into becoming a dominant player using all those traits. But usually when you have great traits and great effort, it's going to translate. It hasn't really yet completely with Wyatt or with LVN on the outside. Hopefully that changes, but this is kind of similar where great effort, great traits hasn't fully come together yet. Last but not least, from a positive standpoint, flashes powerful hands when he can locate them correctly. So when he does get them inside, he can really be jarring with those hands and does show a little bit of violence with those. Negatives, needs to find more nuance as a pass rusher. It's just kind of, getting off the ball, again, absorbing that contact or pushing players into the pocket, trying to bull rush. A lot of these guys, and we're going to, again, talk about this through the end of time. When you're in college, you usually don't have a full pass rush plan unless you're Donovan Ezeraku, in which case you're very well versed in everything, but he's going to need to put that together. He's not a top end finisher at defensive tackle. It's not terrible, but I think he can do well. Again, at this point, again, he doesn't have that extreme closing burst or anything that is going to get him, I think, those, you know, big time pass rush or sack numbers, I should say. Struggles to get off of blocks once engaged. So he'll absorb that contact and he'll continue to push the pile or push the, you know, the offensive lineman back into the quarterback, but he does struggle to get off of those blocks. Felt he allowed the offensive line into his body too easily as a run defender and gets moved around too often. We talked about that. Inability to hold up against double teams. Needs work on the technical side of his game in a major way. He's a good but not an elite athlete. And you kind of saw that in the three cone testing as well, or short shuttle, whichever one it was. And then the other thing that Justice kind of brought up the other day, and it was also in the in Dane Brugler's draft guide, he has attended 6 different programs in the past 7 seasons. So he has not been able to just stay one place. Now, that's not a concern when you're drafted. Like, you're not going anywhere. They own your rights for, you know, the first 4 to 5 seasons if they pick up that 5th-year option. But it is one of those of like, you know, was he invested in a program? Did he get ingrained in it? Or was he just kind of going, you know, mercenary style and going to the highest bidder? It's not, there's never anything really wrong with that, but it's just something noteworthy nonetheless. How he could fit in Green Bay? 3 technique, a little too similar to Devontae Wyatt for my particular liking at this point in time. Is there value at 23? Arguably, yes, but I think there's going to be better values at that spot. I think he's going to be there at pick 23. I would prefer Green Bay going a different direction here, but I'll say what I said early in the episode. There's lots to like too. I can understand why Green Bay would be interested. And if you're looking for somebody who has some of those freaky pass rush traits, well, Nolan has him. And now you just need to get that raw ball of clay and turn him into a weapon. If you think you can do that, I understand why you're taking him at 23. I think it's a little bit too much of a projection for me, but could understand why a team would maybe want to take him in that realm. Personally, just hoping they maybe go in a different direction. To me, final thoughts here on both prospects. Oh, sorry, a couple other things. Why would Green Bay potentially pass on him? The agility score is 1. Hasn't been able to stay in just the 1 spot. Maybe that bothers Green Bay. And again, maybe just a little too similar to Devontae Wyatt, who they already have, and Carl Brooks and Colby Wooden. They have those 3 techniques. Do they want somebody who can maybe do something a little bit different? My final thoughts here, I think Grant makes more sense than Nolan. Nolan is the better pass rusher. Both have upside. Both have, I think, some legitimate risk to their games. Again, I would lead Grant, but Nolan broke out in 2024, and he could be a legitimate add to that pass rush unit, which is, of course, one of the big things we've been talking about all offseason long. Let me know what you think. After hearing from both of these, would you rather have Kenneth Grant? Would you rather have Walter Nolan? You know, I'm sure a lot of you are just saying, actually, I'd rather go in an entirely different direction, which is fine. I probably would as well. But if choosing between the two, again, I would go with Grant in this case. That's going to do it for me today. Thank you, as always, for joining me. Really excited about the draft coming up. Lots of live shows going to be right here on YouTube. Make sure to keep an eye out for those. Friday, 3 p.m. happy hour. I'll be live answering questions for about 45 minutes. So keep an eye out for that as well. Shout out to our All-Pro and Hall of Fame members, Most Hated Minnesotan, PJ Wayne, John Wild, Brandon Paletta, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Alex Wong, Peter Ataka, Jay Zimmerman, B. Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, Dan Gesford, Dylan Patscott, Bobby Santoro, SoCal Pack, Chris Rager, Izzy Roberts, Ian Ewing, Razul Douglas Time, Jake Kohner, Carla Delgado, Willie Winkle Stinkle, and Jen Wright. See you guys tomorrow, but until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.